And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Yo, yeah, welcome to New Year. Nothing 2024. Happy New Year 2024. 21st message from angels letting you know that you're not alone. Balance, harmonious with self groups, you can reach your highest potential and handsome.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, January 2nd, 2024. Happy New Year, everyone. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory. And alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Hey, basketball lovers, podcast listeners, this one's for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. And over yonder, the man making the magic happen, super producer, J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. The boys back together.
2025!
Oh, it's great to see you guys and to be all back in the same place. I know we did an emergency podcast on Saturday of last year.
OG said, get one more in.
But it's been a while. Go Blue, by the way. What a game there.
What a game. You might think this is a Charles Woodson jersey. No, Skeets. This is a Blake Corum jersey.
Oh. So what is it? It's Michigan and Washington.
Yeah, W versus M. Flip them over. Same letter.
Oh, nice.
Think about that.
That's next Monday.
This one's
night.
For Ty Detmer and Tim Biakabatuka.
Holy moly.
That's the only name I knew.
Guys, I know.
Crazy start to this year. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button. Make sure you subscribe as we inch our way to 100,000 subs. And comment away, as you guys already are. Podcast listeners, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. The bosses are still watching. And 5-star Friday could be coming up as early as potentially this Friday on the drop, or maybe next week.
I think we got to do it this Friday. We got some good ones that I've seen coming in, but I think I just got us a best 4-star review because Ty Detmer, of course, was the quarterback for BYU.
Oh.
For the University of Washington. That's ridiculous.
Oh, what
man.
About Trent Dilfer? I don't know. Just saying names that sounded like Ty Detmer.
We had a wedgie before we jump into everything, and it happened on Friday night, I want to say the 29th, and it was a wild one. Cody Martin, my man, sticks it right.
Oh,
as the shot clock expired, but it was like a turnaround fadeaway wedgie. You don't see those varieties too often. We're at 22 on the season. That pace, I saw it get as high as 58, but we've gone a couple days now without one. So it's ticked down to a pace of 56, but we're happy with that. Yeah,
that was a bad shot. Looked like Tim Biakabatuka. Taking a.
What are you
oh, was he a quarterback? Was Tim Biakabatuka?
Running back. Yeah.
Biakabatuka is a great name.
Oh, yeah. Tishomanga, I believe, was his given first name.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Didn't know that.
I have zero idea who you're talking about. I can't picture this
person. You're more of a Tyrone Wheatley guy.
Oh,
of
God.
Course.
Well, you guys were sharing the chat in the Slack. Whoa, what a game.
Yeah.
For Michigan. I didn't care. I was watching so many NBA games. I had no idea what you were saying.
Well, no, it worked.
Live.
It was
there was Pop-Tarts this past week.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, yeah,
oh, man.
And then
NBA
a cheese
tie-in. NBA tie-in to the Pop-Tart.
Yeah, did you hear about
no.
this? Well, go ahead.
Apparently, the Pop-Tart mascot is the OG Benny the Bull, who we met
who
once
we know
last
and
time.
We shot with.
Oh.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's a so good mascot.
Yeah, exactly. That man was a legend.
That man was a bull. That man was a legend, and now he's a Pop-Tart.
Yeah.
Was a Pop-Tart. R.I.P. to the Pop-Tart.
Yes, I did watch a little bit of the Michigan game because the schedule there on Monday. We had that early 3 o'clock start in Madison Square Garden,
yep.
which we're going to jump into here, talk about OG Anunoby and his first game with the Knicks. And then there was sort of like a little break in the NBA
there
schedule
was.
So you could get a little football in and then a lot of games at night. But we did do an emergency podcast last year, har, 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 on Saturday. you can go check that out. The link is in the show notes. You know, our immediate reaction I mean, we jumped on like 30 minutes after this was official to talk about OG getting traded to the Knicks for RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley. I know there were some other pieces involved, but that's who we really focused on. And the general consensus was, hey, pretty good trade. You know, both teams, this makes some sense. You could see why they did this. And now that we got to see, you know, those three main guys play for their two respective squads, what did you think about, you know, early returns, I guess, from OG with the Knicks and those guys with the Raps?
I was just excited. December trades? They never happen in the NBA. I was excited for both teams because the Raptors haven't had this good a guard since Kyle Lowry, I'd say. Having Emmanuel Quickley in that starting line, a guy who can score, is awesome for them just because they had so many wings in OG and Scottie Barnes and Precious and Pascal Siakam. The fact that they let Fred VanVleet go, this just fills a slot in there because the guy can pull up and hit threes, he can hit floaters, he can get to the rim. That being said, watching him there, he looked like a bench player when he was with the Raptors because he just wanted to score. So I hope that they take a second and get part of the team. I think that was the problem watching him. But Emmanuel Quickley is great, and he's not just a point guard. And so with him and Scottie Barnes got to be handling that ball as well. So hopefully it's a good twosome when it comes down to it because the guy can score. Quickley last year had a great year, was almost sixth man. His minutes have been reduced because the Knicks just had too many guards, so they said, all right, why don't we go get OG Anunoby, who looked damn good and just fits so much better. I mean, they went and signed Miles McBride to a three-year deal this past weekend, so they wanted to go get another wing because they just got so many freaking guards. So it's a great deal right now because will these three guys, the three main guys in this deal, get better? Because Precious wasn't all that good for the Knicks yesterday. Will Quickley get better with minutes up? Will RJ Barrett going home start to play better? And will OG be happy in New York? It's just they're great balances, I would say, on both teams. So it's exciting. Quickley's just got to learn that I think Barnes now and Siakam are going to be scorers before him. Mm-hmm. But it is great to see him and Barrett in the starting lineup because I think he's just going to make even Jakob Poeltl better. The team is just balanced better than just hit you with an OG, hit you with a Siakam, hit you with a Barnes. They just had too many wings. You saw what was done in yesterday's game. They looked a lot better.
That seems like the key word here. Balanced rosters for both of them. Honestly, for the Knicks, getting a defensive wing stopper, a guy that can hit the corner three. And for the Raptors, getting some guys that can create one-on-one. That really jumped out to me as a Raptors fan. It's like, holy crap, the Raptors have a bunch of guys in the starting lineup who can actually handle the ball and create things now. Which, you know, that's not OG's strong suit. He does many other things at an elite level, but that is not one of them where you can give him the ball and say, hey, go get us a bucket. But Quickley, 14-6-3. He sort of went ice cold in the fourth quarter, but he could get to that floater anytime he wants. And then RJ Barrett with 19 points and 9 boards. Anunoby, 17 points, 6 boards, hit a couple corner threes. That's what he does. And he was like, I think he had the best plus minus in the game. Both of these teams win, Trey. You agree with this idea, though, of a balanced roster after one game? It makes some sense for the Knicks and the Raps?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense because you've got fans on both the Raptors side and the Knicks side saying, we fleeced them. And you've got fans on both the Raptors side and the Knicks side saying, we got fleeced. So it must be a fair trade, and I think kind of like as expected for both of these teams. Still a lot of spacing issues, I do believe, for the Raptors. Definitely better with Scottie Barnes and now Emmanuel Quickley there. But they're going to be playing three non-shooters in Barrett, Poeltl, who had a really solid game finishing inside, and then Siakam, who was so hot in game one with Emmanuel Quickley there, 5-for-8 from three. The rest of the Raptors went 6-for-22 from three. So that's still going to be a problem, I think. But I was impressed the way the Raptors were getting their best shots down the stretch. I thought when it was either Barnes handling or Emmanuel Quickley handling, not saying they could make any of these shots. I saw that the NBA's YouTube page gave this a fantastic finish, but they couldn't even give it like a nickname. They're just like, this is a close finish. Everybody was missing down the stretch.
Right.
It was not a masterpiece, but I thought good stuff, especially when Quickley was initiating the ball. Like you're saying, Tass, like Quickley is the coolest player to watch on the Raptors since probably Kawhi Leonard and maybe dating back to Vince Carter prior to that. They haven't had – their stars haven't been the like coolest of watches all the time. So DeRozan was fun to watch when he was heating. Anyways, I thought they were pretty good. But I thought a couple of brutal turnovers down the stretch still from RJ Barrett. Like, he should have the ball fourth among those guys. Yeah. And I didn't think it was a surprise to see that Coach Darko had him sitting quite a bit in the fourth quarter as well. I think that it's pretty weird that this trade went down and we kind of consider RJ Barrett the throw-in here, despite the fact that he averages the most points per game, is the biggest name, and is paid the most. But he feels like the third guy in this trade because, like you're saying, quickly is the potential Brunson deal here, right? Like, Dallas didn't want to pay Jalen Brunson, so the Knicks are like, yeah, we'll do it, and he's been a star for them. That's what the Raptors are hoping with Emmanuel quickly as well. And then on the flip side, OG Anunoby, all he has to do is finish plays. Just cut. Just get open. He said, I had no idea what I was doing out there. They were telling me in the middle of the game and stand in the corner and hit threes or cut to the rim for a dunk.
Yeah.
It works. And he just needs the ball so little compared to IQ, which I think is something that the Knicks will try to address going forward. They'll probably want another backup big, and they'll probably want a guard to replace quickly. But I was impressed with OG Anunoby, and I was thought kind of smart by Tom Thibodeau splitting up Brunson and Randall. Since they have one fewer ball handler now, one of those guys has to be on the court all the time. And one of those guys was on the court all the time. So great stuff from OG Anunoby. And he held Anthony Edwards to 35 points. Yeah.
He fouled out with 4 minutes to go, too. Yeah. Right. Bad, brutal last call, the sixth foul that took him off the floor. But, yeah, he as the stopper, he got the Anthony Edwards assignment. He still got his, but he obviously is he's a positive when he was out there. And you saw how he contributed in that way. We've seen time and time again as Raptors fans. I mean, I do love the blowback from a bunch of Toronto Raptors fans today. Where was all this love for OG Anunoby when he played for Toronto? Because you see the Bleacher Report sort of like stat breakdowns and wow, this guy's really good. And Raptors fans go crazy because like, we've been telling you he's really good, but you don't care. Because, you know, they got the little brother syndrome up in Canada and it's like, you never pay attention to us. There's some truth to it. This is what he did for Toronto for years. And now he's in New York and he's going to get more of a spotlight on him and more accolades, which, you know, as an OG fan, I'm happy for. It's just unfortunate, I guess.
Yeah, and the question is, and I think from people who followed him for years, is he going to be okay with being the supporting player? Because he is not going to have the offense run through him. He's going to stand in the quarters at times, take shots from there, and make shots from there. But he's also just going to have to cut and be good at that because the offense is going to run through Brunson. It's going to run through Randall. And he was fantastic at it yesterday. It looks like he would be the perfect third and fourth guy at times on that offense. He's just going to be really, really good if he's going to cut and be athletic and pass because he had opportunities to take more shots if he wanted to just dribble into shots. And I think that's what the problem with Emmanuel quickly was a little bit. The problem with RJ Barrett was a little bit watching him. Are you going to be okay just being the guy off the ball and quickly I hope will be that, but OG was that in this one. The question is quickly and Barrett in the backcourt. I love how the Raps just threw them into the starting lineup. Dennis Schroeder, sorry. It's time. It's time to see if Emmanuel quickly is good. And he was, but there are times when they just didn't pass the ball. RJ Barrett gets that tunnel vision. He had 5 turnovers in this game because he just kind of goes through guys, which was good, and that he could go through guys physically, just driving through guys. But at times, he didn't see who he should be passing to.
He gets caught a lot of the times. Like, he makes that drive. He maybe is thinking about going up, but he's, like, too far away. And then he gets up in the air, and he's like, oh, crap, what am I going to do now? And then that's a lot of those turnovers came that way late.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, oh, I got to chuck it. I got to try and chuck it to somebody on my team. And they were easy picks.
Yeah, but it is great to see a quick guard because the Raps just didn't have a guy who could dribble from the point guard position.
It's
now, now they have all four who can pass and shoot. And, you know, I say, you know, four because it's Barnes, Siakam, and quickly along with RJ Barrett. And then Pirtle should be working off them really, really great. But now this, just if you saw Siakam yesterday, was freaking awesome in just feeling like he's the number one guy scoring 36. Well, him and Barnes are going to be.
Devlin, every time you hit a three, it's 2024!
Well, that was my favorite takeaway from these debuts yesterday. The Knicks win. And OG was great, like we talked about. Raptors win. They held on. You know, Barrett and quickly were okay being thrown in as the starters. But the stars were Randall and Siakam. Like, they were the reasons why both of their teams won the game. Two guys that are, like, constantly in trade talks. And, like, the fan bases always go back and forth on, like, oh, he's an all-star. He's an all-NBA. Ah, trade him. He's a bum. You know, like, happens from game to game, it feels like, with both of these franchises. But they were awesome. They were the reasons their team won.
Yes. And the fact was the Raps weren't going to sign OG Anunoby because they just needed a different guy. And the Knicks weren't going to sign Emmanuel quickly quickly because they just needed a different guy. So they made those trades. And I just wonder, Darko Rajakovic, Raptors head coach, is going to say, let's move that thing. Let's all be a part of this thing. Let's be a part of this thing, Manuel quickly. So let's do that. RJ Barrett, let's do that. And if they do that, they're going to be great. Scotty Barnes will be more of a scorer, will be more of a guy. They will be running him in quickly, will be running up the floor like they were yesterday. They looked good. The only thing I didn't like was Scotty Barnes doing that sprinkler dance in the intro. And his name is announced, Scotty Barnes! And then he does the sprinkler, does the old sprinkler, the like, you know, from the 1980s.
It's 2024.
It's 2024, says Matt Devlin. Anyways, they're just a better five. So they're more fun to watch. Knicks are going to be fun to watch, too.
All right, so they're happy after one game here with their new pieces in there, both the Knicks and Raptors fans. Let's keep it going, though. We're doing winners of the NBA weekend, the NBA long weekend, the NBA holiday weekend, whatever you want to call it. Trey, we'll do two rounds of winners, one rounds of losers. Who you got here for your big winner?
We have this team as a minor winner in the Raptors-Knicks trade. The Detroit Pistons, because they had a game against the Raptors that night, December 30th, we knew that the three players traded, we're not going to be playing. Yep. The two players gained, also not going to be playing. This was the chance. Raptors on a back-to-back on the road, and the Pistons, they absolutely did it, Skeets. Snapped the longest single-season losing streak, ending it at 28 games. And honestly, it's all because of Cade Cunningham. He was awesome in this game against the Raptors. 30 points, 12 assists, zero turnovers, and a couple of three-pointers. In the month of December, Cade went for 25 points, 5 rebounds, 7.5 assists per game, 3 turnovers. That's still a lot of turnovers, but you'll take it compared to the first month of the season. Shot 50% from the field, 35 from 3, and 86 from the line. He had 14 in the fourth quarter of this win over the Raptors. He hit a bunch of big shots, getting to the baseline kind of and finishing over top of Poeltl, that kind of thing. He said, I had to elevate my game, and he really did, I thought, specifically in the last couple of weeks of this streak. It just means that Cade has to be basically playing game 7 basketball for the Pistons to pull off a win, but they did indeed get a win. And then my dad was texting me, he's like, hey man, Pistons might get 2 wins in a row. They end up losing by 20 to the Rockets, yes. But still... As long as they don't lose their next 27, an improvement, I think.
I mean, if there was one like positive takeaway from the 28-game losing streak, it was, especially near the end of it, that Cade Cunningham might be that guy. He might be that dude because he gave a shit. And he was like trying to single-handedly drag them to victories. And a couple times was coming up short in a couple of those close games, obviously against the Nets, against the Celtics, against the Raptors. No, they won that one, and it was because of him, like you said. Now he went 3-for-16 against the Rockets the next game.
Yes, and he did go 9-for-20 against Toronto.
Well, yeah, sure. Look, but he's still tough. You lost that many games in a row, and you are the franchise guy because you're the number one pick. That's going to have an effect on a lot of guys in this league, and some would turtle and say, fuck this, get me out of here. Like, I don't want this. He didn't do that. I didn't hear anything that from him. You know, every press conference you saw, post-game press conference after a loss was, you know, he was defeated, but he was always trying to say, you know, we're not this bad. He kept saying that. We're not a 2-28 team or whatever the hell they were at the time. So, you know, I'm happy to see it. I'm kudos to him for like dragging them to that victory. And you called it, TK. I mean, with the Raptors and the trade losing some bodies. Also a back-to-back situation. They got in at 3 a.m., like, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they still shouldn't lose to the Pistons, but they were bound
they
to win
lose
at some
to the Pistons.
Point. Yeah,
that was the Dwayne Casey curse, and they went overboard this time. They said, we're not taking any chances being the team that loses straight up. We're trading everybody and losing.
Yeah.
Smart by the Raptors.
That was smart by Masai. Yes. We did talk about that on the Emergency Podcast. Any thoughts on the Pistons snapping streak there?
Well, just watching Cade Cunningham turn his ankle. Looked like he was going to be out in the first quarter. He was wobbled. He was hobbling. But he fought through and was able to lead this team and get downhill on every possession. He just looks really good. I don't think that this was an anomaly of a run. I just think he's a really good player, no matter what. He's had 30 against the Raps, coming off 31 against Boston when they went to overtime. That's tough to do. And then a 41 off against Brooklyn, and then another 22 against Brooklyn. They had a pretty tough sked there at the end of it. But I think they are clearly trying to win. Monty Williams is starting old guys. And, you know, he's benched Asar Thompson. He's putting in Bogdanovich and Jaden Ivey. I mean, not an old guy, but not a rookie. He's putting those guys in there. And it was a cool battle there, Rockets, Pistons, to see bro versus bro,
yeah.
Asar Thompson versus Amen Thompson. And Asar's looking good. He obviously had an injury for a while, but he's looking good off – or Amen, I should say, is looking good. Bro problems. He's looking good off
twins.
The bench. Yeah, and Cam Whitmore with a huge dunk. So Thompson wins. And the Pistons win. They get one win.
Did you see what they're doing, the Pistons and Rockets, celebrating twin night there
yeah.
last night? I guess they have
joint bobblehead.
Joint bobbleheads, but one bobblehead in Detroit last night, and then they play again in Houston. Or do I have that flipped around? They play again very soon for the second bobblehead. So you got to go to both locations, I believe.
They're just asking
unless
for
they're giving out both
here.
Of them at both spots. I'm not sure.
That's how they should do it.
Yeah.
Ain't
yeah.
nobody going to Detroit and then Houston.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Within a
but,
week? That's crazy.
You know, maybe you want to get one off of eBay and skyrocket those prices. I, don't
I did get one of those Kerwin Frost Nugget Buddies recently.
What?
Yeah, you know, it's the new thing at McDonald's. They basically have adult Happy Meals. And I got a Big Mac with a Nugget Buddy in there. So,
oh, I've
got, like,
seen
a mustache.
Those going.
He's got a pencil tattoo on his face. I was hoping for Don Bernice, but I got Kerwin Frost. What can you do?
Where'd you put so many names in this show.
I know. I can't.
Kerwin Frost.
New segment, McDonald's toy or college football player. I got no clue. What did he run for? Don McCloy.
Kerwin's a good one.
Don Bernice?
Don Bernice went for 300 yards in the air in the Pop-Tart
in
bowl.
The YA Tittle Bowl.
In the Nugget Bowl.
Don Bernice looks cool, too.
They all look cool, man.
Yeah.
So what'd you do with it?
I put it in the glove compartment.
Oh, cool.
Forgot about it until unpacking yesterday.
When you,
cool.
get, when you get pulled over for rolling through a stop sign, you're going to show that to the officer?
One Kerwin. You got this? I was like, I checked eBay. I was like, man, I wonder how much this is worth. I just paid $10 for a Happy Meal. It's $14.
Oh, see.
Yeah, but I opened mine.
Yeah, don't play with it. Okay, Pistons, you got a winner of the NBA long
Big
weekend.
Time.
Tass, who you got for a winner?
The Indiana Pacers and the Milwaukee Bucks is a fun series to watch. And the Indiana Pacers have won 3 of the 4 games that they've played, and they're going to get them again on January 3rd. Tomorrow mm-hmm. for game number 5. And this was a healthy Bucks team that the Indiana Pacers beat. And you'd think, Tyrese Haliburton must have gone off. He was good, but he couldn't shoot. He hit 1 of 7 threes. He couldn't shoot those threes. The Pacers overall hit 5 threes. Yet somehow, they were able to pull it out. Now, Haliburton was great from inside three, from two-point line. He was on fire. 26, 11, and 9 rebounds. Cool for him. He's from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. They're playing in Milwaukee. Close enough. So great win for them. Great win for this Pacers team. They have just come together. And it was pretty cool because they went down in the first and the third quarter by double digits because their starters were just getting hit. But their bench came through. Even though they were shot 14% from three overall, which is wild, and they still won, they were able to just fight. Bendik Mathurin, 25 and a career-high 13 boards. Isaiah Jackson, 18 off the bench. TJ McConnell, 16 off the bench. They scored 70 points off the bench. And I think their defense has picked up, if you look at their numbers the last 5 games or so, a little bit better. Now, they give up a lot of points, and there's going to be lots of Pascal Siakam talk for them, I'm sure, as the trade deadline comes up, because they do need a little bit of help on the bench. But they were just able to wall off Giannis Antetokounmpo, who scored 64 against them the last time that they played. You remember Ballgate at the end of that one. But the Pacers, yeah, walled him off, and he had a really good game, but they were just able to come through and fight through every single possession. And fourth quarter, they were just smart defensively, and they were going at Malik Beasley in any way they could to score on him. So shout out to them. They look a little bit different mm-hmm. in that they're playing for Rick Carlisle, and this series would be fun. Now, Haliburton said this isn't a rivalry after the game, just because they've won a championship and we haven't made the playoffs, but that's a good sign. He wants them to get to the playoffs, quite clearly. And in game number 5 that they play on Wednesday, it should be fun as well. The Bucks should come back, but the Pacers have been fighting, winning 3 of those 4 games.
Oh, right. They've already played 4 times, but they play a 5th time on whatever you said. Yeah, tomorrow, I guess, Wednesday. And Haliburton, over the break, too, did something that's only been done by Magic Johnson and John Stockton, and that's to have that 20 and 20 in consecutive games. 20 points, 20 assists. Mm-hmm. And Halliburton did that in two games over this little holiday break where he did it against the Knicks and he did it against the Bulls there in Chicago. That's incredible. And he had, like, how many turnovers?
He had no turnovers against the Bulls. Yeah. He was slacking these last two games, had two turnovers apiece. Like Tess said, can't make a three right now. But they're just scoring inside. And, you know, that's the thing with the Pacers. They are a good three-point shooting team, but the speed they play at lets them get a whole bunch of layups. They had 64 points in the paint against the Bucks, a team that wants to take away the paint. So great stuff from Indiana kind of finding their footing because they were in sputter mode right after the IST, and they've played a little bit better defense, and, you know, their offense is getting back on track especially.
Winner of the NBA Long Weekend to Malik Monk's Sixth Man of the Year campaign. On December 31st, so New Year's Eve, Monk came off the bench, as he always does. He scored a game-high 27 points in just 21 minutes played as the Kings blew out the Grizzlies, 123-92. Monk, 10-13 from the field, 4-5 on threes, 5 assists, 0 turnovers, huge plays, big highlights, as he's always good for all season long. So that final game on Sunday finished an incredible December for Monk. 13 games, he's averaging 15.5 points per game, 6.1 assists per game, shooting 49% from the field and 42% from deep. His true shooting percentage is an insane 63.5% in the month, with his usage percentage actually decreasing. That's the crazy part compared to the months prior. He's doing all of this in under 26 minutes a game. And I think that where he is right now, according to BetMGM, the last I checked on the Sixth Man of the Year odds for this season, they have him fifth. I think that's quite low with how well the Kings are playing and how just important he is. He finished fifth last year, if you remember. Brogdon won it. Quickly was second. Bobby Portis and Norman Powell. But for him to be behind this year, Monk, in the betting odds, Reeves, Tim Hardaway Jr., Cole Anthony, Bogdanovich, who's come on as of late for the Hawks, I don't think that's right. I think he should, at plus 800, look, I'm not going to be going betting on it. I'm not telling you to do that by any means. Not financial advice, but that seems strange to me because he's so instrumental to this Kings team and he's played so well. His counting stats are comparable to last year, but he's been way more efficient. And he also has going for him, like I said, those highlight alley-oops and these big dunks, and he had that game winner, that wild game winner against the Warriors. Like, sometimes his buckets feel like more than 2 or 3 points, just the back-breaking variety. So
I hear you.
I just think he should be higher than plus 800 and behind a lot of those guys who are having good years off the bench, don't get me wrong, in terms of scoring the ball and stuff like that. But Monk's significance to the Kings' success, I think, should bump him up a little bit. So I think he's going to start getting a little more Sixth Man of the Year love as we move forward here.
Who would you put him ahead of?
Tim Hardaway Jr. Sure. He plays nearly 30 minutes a game. He scores a lot. He really started hot. I think that's going to come back to earth now that Kyrie's back. Cole Anthony, vital to Orlando's success. He's like, to me, he's like the comparison to Monk, especially with how well the Magic have played too. I would have them like comparable odds, I think. And the Reeves one, I mean, I know we're going to get to the Lakers. It's a bit of a mess, like who's starting and who isn't. I mean, he started and then he didn't. I think he should be right there with those guys. Like, I think it should be all pretty close. Not plus 250 for Reeves to plus 800 for Monk.
Oh, Reeves has definitely been better, though. But he's not going to qualify.
They're comparable stats. They're very comparable stats.
Yeah, but Reeves is... percentages are definitely better. Scoring, it's about the same. Same with Bogdanovich. Like, scoring's about the same, but Bogdanovich percentages are a little bit better as well. But yeah, I would say Monk probably top three. But I don't even know who the leader is.
I was sort of surprised.
I've seen Bogdan Bogdanovich, people are saying, should be the leader right now. I was like, okay. I mean, he is good.
Yeah.
He's been one of the top three-point shooters in the league the entire season.
Yeah, he's been on fire the last 20 games. He's streaky, though, so watch. He'll go on a 10-game slide, or he'll get injured.
He got on a stinky streak recently, and that's why the Kings beat them last week. They're down 18 to the Hawks at half, and they needed somebody to help them out. It was Monk.
Yeah.
And Chris Duarte, who's starting now for the Sacramento Kings. They benched Kevin Huerter, put Duarte in there. And I think, Bogdan Bogdanovich, I thought, was definitely a part of it, even though Tim Hardaway was the number one scorer from the bench. But I think this is all about big-name teams, and that's why the Austin Reaves was there. Just guys who people are betting on. At this point, I think more people would be betting on Austin Reaves. So it's just It's just the casinos making dollars.
Well, I had to remind myself that Brogdon won it last year. I mean, he won it on a good Celtics team. Like, but it wasn't like Brogdon was a 20-point-per-game scorer, right?
No.
I mean, he was good. Look, when I listed those guys that won it last year, Brogdon ain't winning it again. Quickly ain't going to win it because he's going to be starting, of course, for the Raptors. Portis, no. Always tough for a big guy anyway. And
he's been bad as
well. He's been bad, and Norman Powell is like not even close to what he was doing last year. So there's an opening for any of those other guys we said. I think Monk should be, yeah, top three is right there with Cole Anthony. And then, yeah, Reeves is going to be in there, the Lakers market and all that. But, I mean, they're a bit of a mess right now, too. And it's not like he's killing. So, Monk, his sixth man of the year campaign, a little love for him.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
One more round of winners. Why not? TK, what do you got?
Oh, Chunky. Yeah. Chunky. Phoenix Suns, they get a winner. They got to start Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal in two straight games over the weekend. Hey, they beat the Hornets December 29th. They beat the Magic December 31st. I got to write the dates down because I have literally no idea what days we're talking about here. Kevin Durant did rest for the win over the Blazers yesterday, but I kind of consider that a win when you have enough players back that you can actually rest Kevin Durant, who's playing a ton of minutes right now. And the win over the Hornets, Devin Booker went for 35. Kevin Durant went for 21, and Bradley Beal went for six points in his return. I don't care. That's fine. Against Orlando, Kevin Durant, 31. Beal went for a season-high 25 and looked awesome. Yes. I thought he was looking fast. He was looking crafty. And then Devin Booker added 21 in the victory over Orlando, one of the best defensive teams in the league. And these guys went for a combined 77 points after basically like the third game together. That was pretty impressive. Beal then went for 21 in the win against Portland. Choppy start to the season, no doubt, for the Suns. They did not have a good December, but they have had guys in and out of the lineup. They've had some complaints around Christmas time with Kevin Durant saying, wait a second, all these minimum contract players are looking like minimum contract players. What a surprise. But they got a couple, three wins over the weekend, and Bol Bol even got to play. I saw three Bol Bol highlights against the Trailblazers, so we're going to be talking about this guy for the next five seasons. That's right. 7'4", he can handle. Never seen it before.
Yeah, he's taking the minutes from Eubanks. And after I saw those highlights, I thought, my, this guy must have like a 25-point game in him. I checked the box score. No, sir. That didn't happen. Although he ended all right. He ended all right with 11 points and 9 boards. That's great. If he's going to take the backup center spot from Drew Eubanks, he might make his minimum contract look like a deal. But yeah, he hasn't been playing. And Frank Vogel's changing some things up there. So they have looked a lot better. Yeah, mainly because Bradley Beal's back is better and his ankle is better and everything looks fine.
Yeah. Now Suns fans, knock on wood, that all these guys can stay healthy and play. And they need to, like, what is it, 6 weeks before the All-Star break? Like, they need to have a nice little stretch here and like start moving up the Western Conference standings if they're really going to be considered, you know, a championship contender. They're what are they? Like 18-15? Yeah. Mm-hmm. After winning four in a row, so nice little win streak here. But, you know, they're not far behind hosting a playoff series in the first round. Like, they're a couple games back, I believe, of the Clippers. So I if these guys are playing, I still have a lot of faith in them. That, like you said, it's like 75 points, like, sort of in their sleep. Yeah, and then you just, like, you hope on any other night, like, hey, one or two of these minimum guys, like, pops off, and that's a recipe for a win.
Yeah, and in that Orlando game, I thought the first half, it definitely looked a lot of your turn, my turn, which is can definitely work when you've got three guys who can score 30 in every single game. But then in the third quarter, they were getting into a lot of two-man actions, sometimes three-man actions, just giving Kevin Durant a chance to attack against a one-on-one. Like, that's a win right there for the Suns. And then in the fourth quarter, he was just on fire. Yeah. He was just knocking down jumpers over everybody. They're a game out of the sixth seed right now. Like, for playing two straight months of not knowing who's actually going to be healthy amongst your stars and which of your non-stars are actually going to be able to stay on the court, that's a decent start.
Bad, yeah.
And if they weather the dramatic storm in December, then maybe things will be looking upwards for the Suns here in 2024.
Tass, who else do you have for a winner?
Aaron Gordon of the Denver Nuggets. Because he was bitten by a dog, his own dog, on Christmas. He got 21 stitches on his hand and face. So he missed a couple games, and then he was back at practice on Sunday when his teammate DeAndre Jordan said, wah, 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 wah. He literally barked. And DeAndre Jordan said, is that cool if I still do that? And Aaron Gordon said, yeah, it's fine. That's all right. I guess they've always used to do that with Aaron Gordon. That's just a bark thing. He showed up at the game on Monday with a dog around his chain. He just likes dogs. He loves dogs. He played on Monday, and he was asked about his dogs. He said, quote, I love dogs. I grew up with dogs my whole life, but because we're on the road so much, my dad's taking care of him, so I can't really train him how I need him to be. So there was something that happened on Christmas where he got upset.
Well, he said, dog. He said what happened. Did you see this part?
I
didn't see
that. I got drunk and was messing with my dog.
He said it was eggnog. He blamed it on eggnog that he had too much. He doesn't drink a lot, had too much eggnog, and got to like roughhousing with his dog. Mm. And the dog got a little excited, chomped down on him, gave me a bite, and I was basically wrestling him off of me, and he bit my hand.
Ah.
Yeah.
Why did he say two different things?
Well, I think he said what you said prior, and then he came out and said, sort of like clarified a little bit more.
But that's the wrong story.
Quote, for lack of better words, I was fucking around with my dog, and when you fuck around, you find out. That's what he said.
All right. So, yeah, it sounds like the first time he didn't want to say my dogs. Or I screwed up.
He was trying to protect his dogs.
He was trying to say I wasn't drunk, really. And then he came out with the truth. Because I read that first one, I thought, Nikola Jokic loves horses. Let's start a pets podcast. Just start talking about your dogs and your horses. I think Michael Porter Jr. has a podcast. I saw Jokic on...
Yeah, Curious Mike.
There he is. This podcast about animals. And that time you got drunk and he bit you. So he's drinking an eggnog full of alcohol.
That's what he said. I don't drink a lot during the season and, you know, hit him at the holidays.
Gross.
Then he got wrestling with the dog and he was, I guess, not trained well enough. As he said, like you said.
Yeah. Must have been a late night, too, because they played Christmas and it said it happened on Christmas. So when did – he didn't
– Wow, you really want a deep dive.
Yeah, they played at 2:30 on Christmas, right?
Yeah.
So 12:30 Nuggets time?
Yep.
Oh, okay. So it's
early. After the game, went back, started drinking that nog.
Drinking the nog, wrestling the dog.
Oh, that's a good show.
Nog, dog.
Drinking nog, wrestling dogs.
Drink nog, wrestle dog. Picture Aaron Gordon's face.
Okay. He's fine though. I guess his hand, like,
yeah, he played
up
yesterday. It was bandaged up. Looked like most of the stitches were on his hand and not his face.
Yes, face. Yeah, yeah.
Or that face healed. I don't know. I was looking at his face. It looked fine.
Okay. He doesn't have that dog in him. He's got that dog on him. All right. Final one here for me. Oklahoma City Thunder as a winner on New Year's Eve. The Thunder won their fourth consecutive game as they defeated the Nets 124-108. Just a professional win here from OKC. SGA led the way with 24 points, but you had all five starters scoring in double figures. OKC's seventh win in their last eight games. They've improved to 22-9. They're in second place in the Western Conference. Also, file this one under things I didn't know. The Thunder have hosted a New Year's Eve game every year since the franchise moved to OKC, and they're 12-4. In those games on New Year's Eve. Really, really good in front of their fans there on New Year's Eve. But I saw Andrew Schleck pointing this out. The Thunder went 10-3 in the month of December. Fourth overall in net rating. Third in defense. Seventh in offense. They beat the Nuggets twice. They beat the Wolves. They beat the Clippers. They beat the Mavs. They beat the Warriors. They beat the Knicks. Just a really, really good month for this team as they start to convince people, like, oh, wait, how good is this team immediately here? Like, how much noise? How far are they going to go in the postseason? Because they're going to be there. So just want to give them some love.
Absolutely.
They're just rolling right now. And everybody on that team, I mean, all their main players are doing their part. Everybody contributing on both ends.
They're second in the friggin' Western Conference. Yeah. They seem a little bit too young to go deep into the playoffs, but who cares? Go for it, because they're that solid. They're that good. Driving in today, I saw a big rig truck with an Oklahoma license plate. Don't see that very often. No, sure. It's meant to be.
Big rig.
Did you try and get him to pull the horn?
No, I got a great snap of the license plate. I got a photo. JD, I think we have it. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I saved it. I did get a photo. But I think the records of teams that play on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, it's just their opponents have a little too much fun.
Yeah, probably.
That's what happens.
In Oklahoma City.
Yeah, exactly.
That's probably what it is. They're like, let's get this game over with so we can
get
go
the hell out of here.
Yeah. It's like the Miami flu, but the opposite.
Yeah.
So you say they should go for it. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, you think they should make a trade? They've got every pick in the next three drafts coming up. They're one of the best teams.
Absolutely.
Lauri Markkanen? That's the name that keeps coming up for this team, is if they could – they're a team that could be like, hey – Utah, you want five first-round picks? We can do it. It's not even a problem.
Yeah.
And that would definitely improve them because it is such a question mark. You don't see a lot of teams go from winning zero playoff series to winning four playoff series.
No.
Winning two is impressive, right? Like, you look back at the 2012 Thunder, a team that was very good, very young. They had until their third playoffs before they went to the finals. This team is second in the Western Conference. And you're like, are they good enough to actually win a bunch of rounds here? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, a little bit older than you think. You know, he's not a 21-year-old out there like a lot of their other guys are. But I don't know. It seems to me they would most likely just wait out this trade deadline and keep rolling them over. There's always going to be an opportunity.
I think that's exactly what they should do. Because you said it, and I know there's been like some debate within, you know, the Thunder fan base and stuff like that of like what you're saying. Like, whoa. These windows, these like championship windows, if you want to call them that, you know, are a lot smaller than you usually think. And like, do we push in right now to get like another star player to go with all of our talent? Or do you slow play it and like relax? Let's not get ahead of ourselves, because you make that move, then there's pressure to win right away. Suddenly there's media scrutiny and all that. It's like, I'm with you, Trey. I think that they should, get into the postseason, try and win a playoff series, as you should be able to do with this team. And just go from there. And they've slow played it to death over these last couple of years, and it's worked out with a lot of these picks hitting and the way they've built this team. And you said, like, you brought this up a week or so ago. I mean, their big three, it's like, it feels perfect in today's NBA game with SGA, J-Dub, and Chet Holmgren. And then all the other guys around them, I wouldn't get ahead of myself, Tass, unless there was a trade just too good to be true, and it's like a why not. But I wouldn't go overboard, like, trying to get like a superstar by cashing in a million picks. Though if any team could do it, they could. You could do it like twice. They have so many picks because a lot of them are their own. Yeah.
To support that big three, I don't see why they wouldn't do it. If it's not a superstar, I agree. Just like a fourth guy to support Shai, Jalen, and Chet. That's not super old. I think they would do it. I think why the heck not? As long as that guy is, again, not a superstar and not taking away from their top guys and just sort of a guy who's young enough as well, because they are all super young other than Shai. I mean, they're like 21 and a half in terms of their rotation's average age. That's freaking young.
It's insane.
So they have so many young guys.
And those are teams that do not usually go to win a title, right? With a average age of that. It's like not even close. It's more like usually flirting more with 27, 28, stuff like that. Guys in their prime. That makes sense.
It's been all oldies.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So OKC gets a little love there. Let's do some losers of the NBA long weekend. Trey, get us started.
The Lakers. Lakers. They've lost three of their last four, including the Christmas loss to the Celtics. Had a tragic loss on LeBron's birthday, his 39th birthday. The most analyzed toe on the line since Kevin Durant versus the Milwaukee Bucks. LeBron, after a great play by Anthony Davis, gets the ball up on an outlet. LeBron catches the ball, takes a step back, knocks down a two. It was called a two. And then they went and they looked at the replay. And LeBron looked at the replay. And he pointed at his own foot on the replay, saying, wait a second there. That's my foot coming off the line. This was a millimeters call.
Yeah.
I saw people referencing units of measurement I'd never seen before. Like, I know a micron, but some of the words I was seeing in the angstrom, what is that? I got no idea what was going on. Incredible scenes. In the post game, LeBron said that was a clear-cut three. Stevie Wonder could see that champ. Mm-hmm. Of course, they went to replay, which goes to Secaucus. So LeBron said somebody over there was eating a ham sandwich and made the call. Amazing recall by this guy to remember the time Steve Javy was sitting in the replay center with a ham sandwich next to him.
I couldn't believe this.
Unbelievable
this
stuff.
This guy doesn't forget anything, LeBron.
That was too good, man.
Yeah, that was too good. That was really good.
So they lost that one, and then the last two-minute report confirmed that it should have been called a two. Basically, there was not enough evidence to overturn, which I think is exactly right.
Like, but if it was called a three on the floor,
it would have been a three.
It would have been a three, and it would have held, likely. But
Give yourself another Zepto second and just chill out. I saw that unit of time recently.
Zepto second. There we go.
But he towed it. He just towed it. I mean, Minnesota. They had a nice review of that tape. I mean, he towed it. Anyways, who cares?
I love that shot where LeBron is pointing the monitor with it up there saying, look, you can see the little gap.
You can see the gap at that moment.
At that moment,
but
that's right.
Just his feet. You couldn't see the release. Oh, so controversial. They lost another game after that one. New Orleans Pelicans got their IST revenge. I guess this was December 31st, which is now 2 days away. They beat L.A. by 20 points. A few guys out for the Lakers in this one. Rui Hachimura also went out 8 minutes into this game with a calf strain that they say has caused a high level of concern among the Lakers. I don't know if I like hearing that, because the real reason they're getting a loser, those are tough losses, no doubt. But I give the Lakers a loser because so far this season, LeBron has missed 3 games. The guy's playing at an all-NBA level. He has been awesome. Anthony Davis has missed 2 games, also playing at an all-NBA level. They've got a top 10 defense so far, and they're 17-17.
Yeah.
That's not good. No. All their role guys have been pretty bad. Gabe Vincent, we just found out, is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks because he has knee surgery. Obviously, Rui's going to miss a little bit of time, it seems like. They didn't have Cam Reddish against the Pelicans. They didn't have D'Angelo Russell against the Pelicans. A lot of people are missing. But their two stars are not missing. And that's the concern for the Lakers, is that LeBron's playing awesome. AD's playing awesome. If you're getting MVP-level seasons from those guys, you should be better than 500. But if it ain't the IST, the Lakers have been pretty bad. 6-0 in the in-season tournament, plus the win in the title game. That leaves them at 11-17, outside of the games that don't have the extra money kicked in.
Yes. And they don't shoot the three ball. And so the Gabe Vincent injury, I think, is a big problem. And I think this is just a sign that they're going to go for it in the next 6 weeks to support LeBron and Anthony Davis. And by what I mean by go for it is make a trade. Make a trade for a star to support those two guys as much as they possibly can.
Do you have anyone that comes to mind?
Well, the Zach attack could happen. Zach LaVine could happen as the supporting guy. But Gabe Vincent would help a lot if he was playing. And just in terms of getting the three ball up, they don't shoot threes. They're 28th in the league in three-point attempts, and that's just odd. So just to spread the floor, give LeBron and Anthony Davis some room would help a lot. But other than LeBron getting some shoe sales for the LeBron 21 New Age of Sport this past week, shout out to Nick DiPaola for snapping those photos and taking those photos and just sharing them, because that was a nice shoe. James Harden's shoe, very nice. Devin Booker's shoe, very nice.
Anthony Edwards.
Otherwise.
Yeah.
Ants, very nice. Very nice shoes out there.
What do you think about Darvin Ham's starting lineup change that we've seen over the last couple of games, where D'Angelo Russell out, Vanderbilt in, you know, sort of focusing more on defense, but you guys just said it. I mean, we already can't shoot
offense
to save our life. Yeah, and we're clogging it up even more for LeBron and AD. I think this was sort of backfired. You get what he's thinking, but it hasn't gone well. He may have panicked with this one. I don't know if he flips it back. I don't know if Reeves go back in the starting line. I think you need a little more shooting, a little more juice on the offensive side of things to pair with those guys.
They should play a guard.
Yeah.
So I think Reeves should start. He went to the bench because he was struggling early in the season. He found his rhythm. He's shooting 50% off the bench. He started in the second half of this game because Hachimura went out. So I think Reeves has got to be the guy, because right now it's like LeBron is the point guard. That's good, except for he's not a super respected outside shooter, though he's shooting the ball very well. But all the other guys outside of Torian Prince are like, please take it. Mm-hmm. They want Reddish to shoot it. They want Anthony Davis to shoot it. So I think they got to balance things a little, and I think that means Reeves starting. But I know Lakers fans are not happy with Darvin Ham, from what I can tell.
No, they're not.
It is odd to see that offense work that way, and I think they would be yanking D'Angelo Russell if they had Gabe Vincent. Maybe their starting point guard, the guy was a starting point guard on a team that went to the finals last year, just to be his Mario Chalmers, his something that he's been able to help. And I mean, just to be tough defensively, but be willing to shoot every three ball that he gets on the tips of his fingers. So it's fun to watch the Western Conference standings, in all honesty, because they're getting tight.
If they don't go for Zach LaVine, could there be a more of a minor move, I guess, for like Malcolm Brogdon?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Buddy Hield.
No. I'm trying to get them some guard help, of course, and someone that's, you know, been around the block a little bit that you can trust a little bit more. Some point guard duties, decent defensively, can shoot. I mean, and Brogdon, I think, could be gettable. I can't imagine the Blazers like, oh, we got to hold on to him. Just maybe more attainable. But they gotta get something there. I'm with you on the Gabe injury. It really, really hurts them, especially when he came back and it's like, okay, here he comes, and then he's out again for all that time. And who knows with this Rui news now? I mean, it could be
high level of concern.
Yeah, could be weeks, could be months. Who knows? Tass, who else you have for a loser of the weekend?
Well, the Dallas Mavericks unfortunately lost to the Utah Jazz. Kyrie is back, missed 12 games. He had a bruised heel. He's back. But they lost. I really want to talk about the Utah Jazz, though, because they've turned around. And I want to talk about the Western Conference standings because it's hard. The Utah Jazz specifically have won 5 of 6, 8 of 11. They look like a different basketball team. They're just playing together. They're playing some hardy ball. And the reason for that is they're starting some of their older guys as well, and they're playing a lot of zone. They had 37 assists in this game. Simone Fontecchio starting over Ochai Agbaji because he's taller. He had a steal and block and great shots and was the lead scorer for this Utah Jazz in this one. And I think they all did a good job against Luka. He helped against Luka. Luka coming into this game, 6 of 28 on step-back threes to his left. And they were very aware of that. They tried to make him go left over and over and over again, playing that zone. And so they've come together, and I find it interesting to talk about this Lowry Markkanen thing going up to the trade deadline, because he's damn good. Didn't even have to be their leading scorer, and they get a W. What route do they take? I don't think they trade Lowry Markkanen. I think he's a good part, and I think this team is good enough, because I don't think there's a bad team other than the Spurs, who have found a little bit of way, taking Jeremy Sochan out of the point guard spot and putting Malachi Branham in there. In terms of the Western Conference, there's not a bad team out there. There's just not one. I think it's going to be tough to win against any of these teams. Scootie Scoot is back. Scoot Henderson playing for the Portland Trailblazers in the 14th spot. But look at the standings. Now Dallas lost this game. Now they're 19-15. They're 7th. The Phoenix Suns behind them by half a game. In 8th, the Houston Rockets behind the Dallas Mavericks only a game and a half. In 9th, the Lakers are 500 in 8th, and then it's the Warriors, tenth. The Jazz, 10th, excuse me, yep. And then it's the Warriors, the Jazz, the Grizzlies, and then the Blazers and Spurs. It's just hard to win a game. All these teams are coming together. It's hard to win against any Western Conference game. I know, we've talked about the Detroit Pistons being bad in the Eastern Conference, but every team, I think, is starting to find their way a little bit in the West. And even the Pistons are alive. So all that to say, the Jazz are just a tough team to win against. And now we get some Jazz Pistons again. I think they play Wednesday night. That's going to be a battle. Jazz are going to get another win. Jazz are going to get another win. They're going to be 16-19, I think. So they've come together. They're playing a lot harder.
And Jordan Clarkson came off the bench to record his first career triple-double. 20 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists. I'm sure you guys saw the clip of Coach Hardy saying, stay in there and get that final rebound so you can get this triple-double, which he did. And I couldn't believe it, but it was the first regular season game triple-double by a Jazz player since Carlos Boozer back in 2008. That's over 5,000 days.
5,000
That's incredible.
About 1,200
today's
games.
Today's day and age.
I know. That's wild that Clarkson is the first Jazz player since Boozer in 08 to
this
get
one's on Gordon Hayward and Donovan Mitchell.
It's crazy. It's crazy to me.
They should have done it. Carlos Boozer.
What?
Yeah, he had 10 assists.
I know.
That's quite surprising. He likes to shoot. That is very surprising. Gordon Hayward, you mentioned him. He was on Paul George's podcast talking trash about the Boston Celtics team that he was on.
All their
agendas. Everybody podcasting.
Yeah.
Everybody's podcasting these days. But I like watching the Jazz. Like, I watched them last year. They looked a lot better last year, but they've started to come together.
Yep. Well, you brought up Gordon Hayward, so let me give a loser of the NBA long weekend to the Charlotte Hornets. I think they've secretly, quietly dropped 11 consecutive games here. That caught me by surprise. I was like, whoa, that's the longest active losing streak now in the NBA by 8 games after the Pistons beat the Raptors, of course. And they are getting punked, the Hornets are, on this post-Christmas West Coast road trip. They lost to the Clippers by 9. Okay, they lost to the Lakers by 21, the Suns by 14, the Nuggets by 18. They're severely shorthanded. Okay, no LaMelo Ball for the last, 15 games with his ankle issue. Mark Williams has missed the last 10 games due to a back issue. And Gordon Hayward and his beautiful hair has missed the last 3 games here due to a calf strain. That's why he's going on these podcasts. Even Terry Rozier was a scratch yesterday against the Nuggets due to an illness. And that means Ish Smith got to play and start for the Hornets. 14-year vet, Ish Smith. Now, it was cool. He got his ring. He was on the Denver Nuggets, if you remember. he received his championship ring from his former teammates there before the game. But it was deja vu, this Nuggets-Hornets game, because the Nuggets pulled away after halftime. They outscored the Hornets 40-17 in the third quarter. They had a 20-2 run to start the second half. They lost almost the exact same way the last time they played on December 23rd when the Nuggets ripped off a 30-9 run in the third quarter on way to a big win. So just the same thing here. The Hornets ranked 26th in offensive rating and 30th in defensive rating. They're the worst defensive team in a league full of some pretty bad defensive teams. There's just no resistance from this Hornets team defensively. Again, they're missing some key guys, but their opponents have an effective field goal percentage of 57.7%. And you can shoot nearly 40% from three against this team or score at the rim. You know, they give up both of those. Pick one or the other to try and stop. So it's bad. That caught me by surprise they had lost 11 straight games. I knew they were bad, but they're really, really, really bad.
Yeah.
They're depressing.
There's just nothing interesting about the Hornets right now. At least with the Pistons, you're like, wow, NBA history. The Spurs, they're losing 18 straight. You're like, at least they got Wembanyama.
Yeah.
Scooty Scoot is back for the pace, for the Blazers. You know, with the Hornets, with LaMelo out right now, it's just a slog.
It's a slog. Feels like how many years running have we said this about this team, though? It's just like, it's just a slog, man. And Steve Clifford's still there. God bless him.
Steve,
trying to get them
man.
To play defense, but they're tough. They're a tough watch for sure. You can score on them at will. So Hornets, loser of the NBA long weekend. Who'd we miss? Tell us, winners, losers. Let us know in the stream team. Let us know in the comments and tweet at us at NoDunksInc.
I got to get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute. But man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/nodunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/nodunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Before we go, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
It's me.
Yeah.
The Tweetster. This one comes from at Andy Creed, Tweet Davidson on Twitter, who says, when guys become dads, they're sorted into one of these four houses like in Harry Potter, along with pictures of various tool bags. The yellow of DeWalt, the neon green of Ryobi, the red of Milwaukee, and the teal of Makita.
Wow.
Personally, I am a Ryobi power tools man, ooh, but a DeWalt bag tools man.
Oh, wow. Mm. A little bit of both.
Yeah. What about y'all?
The sorting hat wasn't sure where to put you, man.
Yeah, exactly right.
The Home Depot sorting hat. What are you, you're a dad? Which one you got?
Yeah, it's funny because I think I'm also a blend of Ryobi and DeWalt, but I have to look up what my DeWalts are. Maybe I don't have DeWalts. Oh. I'm just so bad with brand names. Other than my Ryobi drill tool center that I have in my in my garage, DeWalt. There's another brand name. I love the four here, but I think there's a fifth that I'm forgetting.
Who's the Slytherin of this tool bag group to you, TK?
Interesting.
Makita. I don't know why. I don't know why. DeWalt has to be Hufflepuff. Colors match. As Milwaukee and Gryffindor, I think.
Yeah.
Plus, you got the lightning bolt for, Harry's scar.
Good call.
I think it's got to be Gryffindor. So, Ryobi and Makita, it's up to you. Which one's Ravenclaw? Which one's Slytherin?
I have, to answer your question, I got a little DeWalt, and I have Milwaukee gloves. They're my work gloves from
Milwaukee. If I see you with Milwaukee tools, I'm like, that guy's all about the tools.
Oh,
those
really?
Ones seem like the most serious tools to me. Geez. I don't know why. I think it's because JD maybe has a couple Milwaukee tools around here. And anything JD does, I give more credence. Mm-hmm. Like, his movie recommendations mean more than anything.
Wow.
Ergo, his tool recommendations also mean more.
I've
seen a Milwaukee around here.
I got some Milwaukee. All my outdoor tools are Ryobi.
Yeah,
like the lawnmower, leap blower, all that stuff.
Yeah, you got all those big batteries.
Yeah, exactly.
Interchangeable.
Yeah.
I was going to say our buddy Grish, big Ryobi guy.
Big Ryobi guy. He
went all in.
Yeah. They look cool. The color, it just pops. You know?
That Milwaukee drill doesn't even look like a drill. Can we go back to that photo? I'm very confused. That looks like a joke. Maybe that drill, it just looks like a...
Like the one on the right.
The middle. What's that thing in the middle?
That looks like a jigsaw.
Yeah,
it's a saw. Some sort of saw.
That's a saw.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a saw. Wow, it looks like a drill's got a tongue sticking out of it. I don't know what it is. It's not real.
Pow, pow, power tools.
That's one of my New Year's resolution is to get a saw.
Yeah. Oh,
what
wow.
What kind of saw?
Electric.
Yeah.
Power saw. I don't have any power saws. I only got a back-breaking saw.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
terrible,
call.
Terrible, man.
That's a good call.
How often does sawing
yeah,
come
like,
up?
What do you
once
think?
A year.
For your tree.
Yeah, that's about time.
But you don't have a chainsaw.
That's what I'm saying. I could use a chainsaw, or I really like the ones that, like, what's it called, a pole saw? It's like 20 feet tall.
Oh, yeah.
Seems not very useful, but it'd be cool to have.
I
very long saw.
Well, yeah, we should do, we've said it a million times, is you should get all the Ryobis, you should get all the Milwaukees, you should get all the DeWalts. Yeah, then we can just, don't get every tool piece.
Yeah.
You just buy one. You buy the circular saw, and whatever, and then we'll go from there.
It's a good call.
And we just share them. Bring them in. They just sit here. We just leave them here.
Who needs one? Who needs a tool? Who's taking a tool?
I got an axe if you want it.
Oh,
but that's what I was thinking. I was thinking I was going to get an electric saw as well because I wanted to go just freestyle into the forest and just go cut. But that's what I have an axe for.
Freestyle. Lumberjack.
Freestyle. Like he's the professor behind his back.
Yeah. Oh, Steph Curry, that one. But yeah, I just like an axe instead. But anyways, an electric would be nice. Because sawing is hard.
Tall man.
Oh, yeah.
Just
hell
manual
yeah.
Sawing without yeah. Electricity, that's tough. That's real tough.
Great tweet. I thought you were going to go with the Whitlock as the tweet of the night. But, go check that one out if you haven't.
I've been getting the same ass. I don't know why.
I was laughing so for crazy. A long time that tweet. That cell phone, the cell phone on that tweet, though, is... Mwah. Chef's kiss. All right, we'll call it there. We will be back here in the Classic Factory tomorrow. Later this week, maybe on the Drop Podcast, we got to do some New Year's resolutions for some players, teams, maybe ourselves in the podcast. So start thinking about that. But enjoy the games tonight, and we'll see you here at 10 a.m. Eastern. Hit the like button, subscribe, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, all that tweet talking. Gotta put it to the side just for a sec and go to Threads, because Giannis Antetokounmpo is on Threads, and he responded to a WhatsApp thread. WhatsApp threaded, "The new year is calling. Where will you be at midnight? Watching fireworks, chatting with family, dancing the night away, fast asleep." Giannis responded, "We got a game tomorrow," and he chose fast asleep. Respect, Giannis. And respect to him.
But they lost.
Taking care of business. He's taking care of his life. Good for you, Giannis. Good for you joining Threads.
Well, did either of you make it up or stay up till midnight?
Yeah.
I mean, you got kids, and did you do that whole thing yet?
It was close. I'm not sure.
You're not sure? No. I'm going to say you did it if you're not sure.
Well, I was in bed, so maybe I did, maybe I didn't.
Okay.
Taking
so
care of business.
The house was asleep or in bed.
Oh, yeah.
Not a creature was stirring, huh?
Are you worried? Do you have the power tools going? Oh, Dad's out freestyling again in the back. All right, embrace the day, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.